All right, so today I'm talking about brand new. And last week I did a little bit of a lead-in message about this, about new. New Year is a good time. It's a good time to kind of look at things. It's a good time, for example, like if you want to be water baptized. Now, we're not going to baptize in the winter because that would be difficult unless we rent out the pool again. We could do that. The Johnson's pool might not be quite ready. Might be a little chilly there. But we're going to schedule some baptisms. We've had some people go through the growth track already. I know a couple people that are going to be. If you have never been baptized, then connect with me and we'll get you on the schedule and we're going to make that happen pretty soon. Next Steps class, you already heard Nick say, it's a new year, brand new. If you've never been to our Next Steps class, 5 o'clock at my house today. And then also we're starting 21 days of prayer and fasting. Really, really believe this church was started in prayer, bathed in prayer. Michelle and I spent 21 days in August of 2013 praying and asking God for his leading and guidance as we began the very beginnings of building a launch team. And then we led our launch team before we even launched this church in 21 days of prayer. And we've now done that as a church. We've been around for a little over two years. And we do 21 days of prayer. This is 21 days of prayer and fasting. It's a great start for the new year. Beginning today, you commit to every day just having a solid time of prayer. We actually have prayer journals out at our guest services, prayer guides. If you don't know what to pray or how to pray, we've got all of that. We've got sample prayers, warfare prayers, Lord's Prayer, tabernacle prayer, just lots of different things. And how to pray, how to intercede for people, because we really, really believe in that. That's how this church was started. And so also it's a time of fasting. I encourage you. I'm going on a Daniel fast starting today. It's mostly fruits, vegetables for me, some lean meat. But for you, the fast might be something different, all right? I don't know what you're going to fast from. Some might want to fast from social media. Some might want to fast from different things. I don't know what it is for you. But it's that whole idea of committing a time where we're just trusting God that he's going to take care of us in that whatever area we have prayed about. So, and I'll be sending daily, I hope, with my new schedule teaching at the school. We'll see if I can keep up. But each day during 21 days of prayer, I send out a thought about prayer along with prayer requests. And of course, you can get all the current prayer requests off in Dream Team Central. When we do this in the summer, see, we don't have this building available to us, so you're kind of on your own. In the summer, we have this room available in August when we do 21 days of prayer in August, and we actually show up here at 7 o'clock in the morning, and for an hour, we spend time praying together. We actually join the Church of the Highlands out of Birmingham, Alabama, and we simulcast that here. And we do that, so but we can't do that now. So you're kind of on your own for that. Anyway, this is a great time, new year. It's awesome. It's just really good. God, and you know, God has a vision for your life. Everybody's on a spiritual journey, and God has a vision for your life and a picture. And here's what I think it looks like out of Revelation chapter 21, verses 4 and 5. It says, "He, God, will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." New is great. New is not pre-owned. All right? God likes new. He makes things that are new. And most people or many people do not experience new. But you can experience new today, right here and right now. See, God doesn't just make improvements over what we were, okay? But he makes us new. God never mends what man has marred. He always makes it again new. Not new and improved, because if it's improved, then it's been around a while. No, it's new. It's improved. It's not improved. It's brand new, and that's what we're talking about. So maybe you've made some resolutions, and we find that resolutions are really difficult. In fact, I was sharing with somebody, like right now, gym memberships are like selling. They got the stuff out there, and I got right on January 1 in my mailbox from Snap Fitness, I got the card, the oversized postcard thing, and it's a big deal right now to get gym memberships. But I'll guarantee you, come Super Bowl weekend after that, and right now it's probably hard to get into a gym, hard to find a parking spot, let alone get in. Come the day after Super Bowl Sunday, you can park anywhere you want in that gym parking lot. They'll actually probably have people out at the road with sandwich signs going, free memberships, because we fall off our commitment. I don't know what your resolution number, like maybe they're like this though. Here's some sample resolutions and how sometimes they work. Resolution number one, in 2015, I will work out 5 days a week. And then in 2016, well, I'll work out 3 days a week. Or maybe this year, 2017, I'll drive past the gym once a week. Maybe that's our resolution. Or how about this for a resolution, number two. In 2015, I will read at least 10 books a year, at least 10. 2016, I will finish the last book I started. Or in 2017, I will try to finish the comic section of the newspaper this year. And then maybe resolution number three as an example. 2015, I will pay off my bank loan this year. 2016, I will pay off my bank loans this year. Or how about 2017? I think I'll be out of the country by the end of the year. I don't care what you say. That's funny. So, you know, nothing really changes when we try to do and when we try to improve on the old. And that's why it doesn't work. We need God to make it all again. In 2 Corinthians, new, not improved. In fact, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17, when someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He is not the same anymore. A new life has begun. Not new and improved, but it's new. And it starts with internal. Okay, it's something that we have to do internal. You know, about 78% of people say that they're Christians, but only 7% have really said that their lives have changed as a result of their faith. But real Christianity is a change on the inside that produces things on the outside. You see, I really believe that we need a revolution, not a resolution. I really think that instead of turning over a new leaf, we need to turn over a new life. And so there's different ways that you can express it. All right, there's different ways. And for your notes, here's some different ways for you can express it. One is you can change the outside in or changing the inside out. So many people want to start with the outside, thinking that's the place to start. But no, it doesn't start with diet. It doesn't start with schedule. It starts with God. And that's why today's message is about our new faith. I mean, we're going to talk about a new faith. We're going to talk about new fitness, new finances, new friends. But it starts with faith, a new faith, something on the inside. The inside has to happen. If you're just doing it on the outside, then you're just making improvements, but you're really not having total change. Another way of expressing that is doing something different or being someone different. Improving the old you or becoming a new you. So let me show you. God demonstrates to this in the old, by the old covenant. The old covenant didn't work. The sacrifices, they never took away sins. Even though they paid for sins, there was still guilt. And God knew there was a better way. And here's what he says regarding new faith and a better way. In Hebrews 10, 16 and 18, it says, "This is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." Then he adds, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin." See, God wants us to take this a step deeper, and he wants to put his word, his law, in our hearts and in our minds. See, maybe that's why I tell people, you know, you don't start with the outside. And I've seen so many people, I've seen even family members of mine start with the outside. Like, they're going to start praying. They're going to do 21 days of prayer. Or they're going to start doing Bible reading. Or they're going to start tithing and doing all these outward things. Listen, those are good things, but the outward thing doesn't change the inside. It doesn't produce a change that is new, totally new, and makes a difference. It doesn't. You just, the outside looks better, but nothing's happened internally. Rather, I think it's It's the inside that has to change, and that's why God says he wants to write his laws on our hearts and on our minds. And so, Hebrews 10, 19 through 25 says, "Therefore, brothers, sisters, since we have had confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds." In verse 25, "Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another." Did you see those? The "let us." Let us draw near. Let us hold on. Let us encourage. Many, many years ago when I was in Bible college, one of my instructors, professors, called this the salad bar of the book of Hebrews. It's the salad bar of the Bible because of all the lettuce that's in there. Because of all the lettuce in there. He says, let us draw near. Draw near to God. Let us do all we can to be as close to God as we possibly can. Let's draw near. And to draw near to God means being in the community of God's people, being within the church, being active in small groups, being around other Christian people. That's to draw near to God. Making sure that you've got time with him in the word and in prayer, doing everything you can to draw near. He says, let us draw near. Then he says, let us hold on. Let us do all we can to strengthen our faith. Let's make sure that we're doing everything that we can to hold on, and then to consider one another. Let's do all we can to consider one another and to encourage one another. See, he was writing to a group of people where they stopped coming together. And that doesn't encourage anybody. Rather, it's always encouraging when there's more. I really believe that. It's always encouraging. You'll get great encouragement when there's more people here. You'll get great encouragement. I mean, it just fires up. One time, I remember Rick Warren talking about, in church planting, he was talking about how bigger is better. Now, that cuts the grain with some people, but the point that he was making is this, that he had this group of people, and he said, okay, I want you two people to applaud. And so you had two people clapping. And then he said, okay, I want you, this row of people applauding. And so that row is clapping. And then he said, now I want these two rows. And so the two rows were clapping, and they got more. And then he said, I want this section applauding, and I want this section applauding. And the more people applauding that was active and participating, everybody got fired up, and it just encourages you. Okay, we encourage one another by coming together. We don't encourage one another by staying apart. We encourage one, and that's what the book of Hebrews says. It says, stop, don't give up meeting together, as some of you are, he says, but continue to come together, and so much more as you see the day approaching, because it spurs us on toward love and good deeds, and it brings encouragement, and it gives consideration. So, when you live lives to impact others, that's what you do. Now, I said in my prayer, this can be the best year of your life. In fact, if you'll determine that this year spiritually, you're going to put spiritual priority high, and you give God that place in your heart, this will be the best year of your life. If you make spiritual priority a priority, central, first place, it will be, I guarantee you, it will be the best year of your life. And in 1 year, if you'll do some of the things that we encourage, you know, small group participation, prayer, Bible reading, all those disciplines that we talk about, if you do all of those things, discover your gifts of how God's wired you, if you do all of that, come here regularly, if at the end of the year you're not encouraged, you and I will go and find a church together. Okay? Because I really believe that if you make sure that the Lord is going to have first place in your life, this will be the best year of your life. Now, about a brand new faith. Here's some thoughts about having a brand new faith. One is, as far as how to have a brand new faith, am I worshiping intimately? Am I worshiping intimately? Am I yet a time close to God? John 4:23, Jesus says, yet a time is coming, and some of you may know this, and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. The word worship there is a Greek word called proskuneo, and it actually means to kiss and to be in love with, and that's what God is looking for. It's the idea of kissing the ground, falling before a superior, and worshiping that person. It also has the idea of kissing one while raising a hand extended. And it's the idea of, it's not the idea of a husband and a wife coming together to kiss. It's actually the idea of, all right, for years, I had a dog, and her name was Patches, and she was half Dalmatian and half English Setter. And she was really nervousy, high energy. And when I would come in the door, she just loved to see me. And her body, her tail would be wagging, and she would be ready for me like that. And it's that kind of love that God receives from us that we are so happy to see Him. We are so thrilled to be with God. We are just happy. It's like, see, now Pastor Nick now has a dog. And when he goes home today, that dog's going to be so happy to see him. So happy. I'm so glad to see you. I'm glad you can come. Let's do it. And see, that's the type of, that's worship. That's proskuneo. Literally, that is proskuneo. That's exactly what we have with God. So, change on the inside. We need to go after God affectionately. You know, we desire passionate worship here. And that's one of the things that... really thrilled to have Shauna with us to help him serve on our worship team to help us develop a passionate worship here, because we want your experience to be that. I mean, I've seen people in worship settings where, I mean, one time they were singing I Am Free, and I saw a guy, and this was in a large congregation, where I saw a guy get out of his seat and during the I Am Free run around the whole section, you know, because he was free, his arms free, he was free. And I thought, well, that's different. You know, I've seen people jumping up and down, and of course, you know, here maybe we don't get quite that crazy, but that'd be all right, right? Proskuneo, we want to have that affection for God. But even some, you know, some of us do. Some of us have this style of worship. I call this the style of carry the TV. Carry the TV worship. That's where we're like this, okay? I call this carry the TV. And then, you know, some of us are like that, right? It's not real wild. Not just, it's carry the TV. And then I've got others who are field goal. This is field goal worship, okay? Like, I am just ready. God, I am there. Well, that's what worship is. That's proskuneo. That's our response to God. And we want to worship Him intimately. We want it to be intimately with all that we have. And then the promise is this. James 4:8 says, come near to God and He will draw near to you. He will come near to you. So we want to have intimate worship, proskuneo, where we just adore Him. We're just so thankful that He's here, and we can raise our hands and we can give Him that kiss and we can give Him that worship that's within us. A second thing about brand new faith is, am I feeding daily? Am I feeding daily? Is God's word a part from my life? Am I getting into the word of God? In fact, I tell people, it's not so much that you need to get into the word of God, you need the word of God to get into you. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of God. Because you can't give away what you don't own. If you don't possess it, you need God's word in your heart and in your life. And I have seen, I'm not going to pick on worship leaders or anybody that's up in the front or dealing with other people in different situations as Christian leaders, but it's like this. If you don't own it, you can't give it away. If it's not in you, you can't give it out. That's why I just remember so much. I'm showing my age now because I'm still an avid Keith Green fan. I loved Keith Green, his music. It was just revolutionary back in the late 70s, the Jesus culture, and I was into all of that. I enjoyed it, and he just produced so much. He was Spiro Records' number one seller back in the day. And he got to a point where he said, is this entertainment or is it ministry? Because if it's ministry, I can't charge people. And he actually began giving his records away. He went to Spiro, to Billy Ray Hearns, who was the president and the CEO of Spiro, and he told them, the Lord's told me that I need to give my music away. And they knew they couldn't make that work, so they had to say goodbye to their number one. I mean, he was whoever would be number one today. That was Keith Green back in from 1977 to about 1982, about a five-year span. Well, but Billy Ray Hearn says this guy was number one. He has so many songs coming out, so much music, because he's in the Word. See? It's in the Word. It's just coming out. And so am I feeding daily? Here at Better Life, we really encourage SOAP, study, observe, apply, and pray. And really encourage that Bible reading time. Now, we've got journals out at guest services table. Now, some of you have not yet availed yourself for the 2017 journals. Take one. And the reading plan is right there so that you can read and you can journal. Really, really strongly recommend that. It's there for you. You want to get that Word of God into you. I believe in the journaling so much. I love the SOAP. Is that I brought it. I bought some journals myself and donated them to my Bible class that I teach over at the Potter's House. And I brought it into these kids. And every Tuesday and Thursday, they don't do it every day. They're still learning. Some of them can't even speak, are learning to speak English, you know. but they're learning how to journal, how to take a passage of Scripture, how to write it, how to make an observation. What does it say? How to make an application. What does it say to me? And then P, prayer, how to write a prayer back to God. That's what that does. So make sure that my kiddos are doing every Tuesday and Thursday. I encourage us to do this daily and watch it. Just change your life. They're free. Everything at guest services is free. So make sure you take advantage of that. See, it says in Joshua 1:8, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful and do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. And I know that I've taught you about that whole idea about meditate on it. That's not, I don't know what I'm doing. You know, it's not that at all. Meditation is taking, it's like a cow chewing its cud. The cow eats and it chews and it chews and it chews and it chews. And then the cow will swallow it, and then sometimes it comes back out, okay? If you haven't eaten yet, sorry. So they regurgitate it back out, and when they regurgitate it back out, guess what they do? They eat it again, and they get every bit of nutrition out of that food, and that's the idea about the Word of God, is to take it in, get every piece, every ounce, every bit of nutrition out of it. And that's what Joshua is saying. Have the love of God's Word into our life. How does the Bible impact you? I mean, goodness, that's another topic I'm teaching my Bible knowledge class, is that we're doing a section right now where it's called, How Does the Bible Impact You? And I said to the kids, and you see, you got to understand, most of my class, I've got 15 kids in that class, and most of them are like ELL, like they weren't really happy when Donald Trump won the presidency because they thought some of them had to go back over the border. Some of them are undocumented, which is another way of saying illegal. and so they have that issue going. So they were a little. So anyway, reading and understanding. So sometimes when I say something, I gotta read. What does that mean? So I said, "How does the Bible impact you?" And impact. What does that mean? And how does it change me? Does the Bible change me? And so right now, we're going over topics about what the Bible has to say about a certain topic, and how does that change me? What do I think about that? Does that do anything for my life? And so that's the question for us, is it changing us? Is it impacting us? Is it, for example, how I vote? How I vote is governed by the Bible's impact on my life. I'll just tell you right now, I'm not getting political, I'm getting biblical. Like, I believe the Bible teaches in pro-life, no abortion, and I can share the scriptures with you. I'll never vote for a candidate that wants to abort babies, never, okay? That's how the Bible changes me. See, that's the question we have to ask. It affects me, it changes me out in the public square even like at the voting booth where I vote or what I decide to get involved in. So the question is, do we have the Bible coming into us? That's just an example. Now, how does it change you? How does it impact you? Is it coming into your life? See, you want it in your life. You want it impacting. You want it change. You want it guiding you. The Bible should guide us. Not what's great out in the culture. Not what's on television. The Word of God should guide us. It says in Psalms 119:105, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." The Bible guides us. You want this new living way? Excuse me. Closer to God, then get the Word of God in you. Worship Him intimately. Get the Word of God in you. And then third, am I serving faithfully? Am I serving faithfully? It says in 1 Peter 4:10, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in various forms. You have a gift, and God wants you to use your gift. And in fact, the church needs you to use your gift. When we are gifted by God and we don't use those gifts, it's almost like stealing. It's almost like, because you have a gift that God has given you, not for you, to bless somebody else with. And if we're not using that gift to bless somebody else, I just kind of think, man, isn't that kind of like stealing? We're taking something that God has given to us and we're not using it to benefit the person who needs us. And so don't give up meeting together. Small groups, come together. We are starting small groups. A week from Monday, we're doing the Fresh Air small group. And make sure you've signed up. We'd love to. I think we're going to have a really good group on Monday nights. And that's where we come together. And small groups are a place of safety, because we come together and we share. What is said in small groups stays in small groups. It doesn't go out on the prayer thing unless people says share it with the prayer team. And really, when you start, it's actually better for you to be in a small group and even leading a small group than it is for those who are coming. Because when you start serving other people and using your gifts to serve other people, it's better for you. It's like, you want to make your marriage really good? Like, lead a Marriage on the Rock class. Because people are coming over to your house. You got to have your act together. People are coming over. And so, you know, in fact, invariably, if I preach on marriage, and we got a series coming up in February, that it's like when I preach on marriage and telling people what they should do, and we're going to be doing Marriage on the Rock, and we got the EXO conference, it seems like invariably, just before I get up and speak, like Michelle and I have this little thing that we go through. But you know what? It makes you better when you're serving other people. You get stronger yourself because you're using the gifts that God has given you to bless other people. And it helps you overcome issues when you're leading and using your gifts. And that's what God intended. And then fourthly, so am I worshiping intimately? Am I in the Word of God? Am I getting it in my life? Is it changing me? Is it affecting me? Am I using my gifts that God has given to me? And then am I connecting regularly? Am I connecting regularly? That's, you know, when we get together outside of church in small groups, we'll use that as an example. That's a great time when we connect with one another. It's a time of intimacy. It's a time of sharing. It's a time of praying over one another and really just getting healing. Getting, you know, in fact, that's what the Bible says, you know. It says in James 5:16, "Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you might be healed." See, God forgives us of our sins. But you know what? You need another person in your life to make sure that you don't do it again. You know, that someone has said, forgiveness is granted, but trust is earned. And so God forgives us and He loves us, but you need somebody else in your life to make sure you don't do it again. And so you find that partner, that person, like in a small group that you can talk to and that you can share, that you can connect with. And the result is not only accountability, but the other result is healing. You get healed relationally, spiritually, physically. It's good. When you hold things in, that's why we need other people in our life. We're better together. When we hold things in and we don't get them out, it's not good. I mean, David writes in one of the Psalms about how when he held things in, how bad it was. He had all these outward things happening to him. So we call it like getting it off your chest. You have a person that you can share, that you can talk to. And really healing happens. Am I connecting regularly? And of course, not only connecting with one another, but of course connecting with God. These next 21 days of just trusting God and praying. If the worship team would come up. So a brand new faith, in a brand new faith, I'm asking the question, am I worshiping intimately? Am I feeding daily? Am I serving faithfully? Have I discovered the gifts that God has given to me and using those gifts? And then am I connecting on a regular basis with every head bowed and every eye closed? This is a new year. And God never mends what we mess up. He makes it again new. And this morning, today, this year can be the best year of your life if you'll just trust God to make you a new person, not an improved person, but new, all over new. Worshiping intimately. Getting close to God. Just imagine that. Draw near to Him and He draws near to you. Feeding daily. Getting the Word of God into us so that it impacts our life out in the public square in all sorts of different ways. Serving, using our gifts, and then connecting with one another. This year can be the best year of your life. If this morning you'll just determine that, you know what? You just say, with heads bowed, eyes closed, right now, say to yourself, say to God, in your own words, Lord, I've probably been holding back, God. God, I don't think that I've really allowed you to completely make my life new. But I'm challenged by what I heard today. And I am ready to let you work through me in a new way. I don't know where it's going to go, God. I might even have a little fear. But I'm ready. I'm trusting you to work in my heart completely. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We love Jesus. We proclaim Jesus. We want to serve Him and we want to proclaim Him as often as we can. Holy Spirit, fill us. Guide us, teach us the things that we need to know. May we bear fruit for our Heavenly Father. And may this year be the best year of our lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name, for His glory alone. Amen.